come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a recorded teaching from the Heart to Heart online summer series titled In Our Home. More information about this series is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all. It's so good to be here. It's so good to see the... How many of you got the email? You got an email letting you know? And did you notice at the very bottom in little tiny, tiny print, it said that we can meet in here? So I'm excited to be able to meet in here. So a breaking through was great. It was amazing. How many of you were at breaking through? Yep. Just a few, but thank you for doing that, and people's lives were changed because of that. And so this is just in way of announcements. Fireside chats are going on 12 o'clock every day, Monday through Friday. We're still doing that, and it's always been fun to do that. Wednesday, midweek study is 6:30. Thursday, men's study, 7 o'clock, so you can let your husbands know. The men are doing the same thing we're doing. They're meeting in here, and they're also meeting online. So, then Saturday, 6 o'clock, Sunday, 7:30, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and 12:30. Still having the 12:30 service. And sorry, there's still no childcare at this point, so, and you still need to do the RSVP. Resonance starts next Wednesday, not tomorrow, but next Wednesday, the 24th. We're going to sit out in the parking lot. So all of the parking will be taken care of. You'll be directed as to where to park, but we're going to be facing the church. So the nice thing about that, before we were facing into the sun as it was going down, and everybody was going, yeah, okay, love the music, love, I'm worshiping. I got my eyes closed because I can't see. And so it's going to be great out there to do that. So you'll have to bring your, if you can, bring your own beach chair. We might have some seating, but not a whole lot, as far as I know. Those of you who know Maureen Schaefer, if you're in touch with Maureen Schaefer, you know that she's in hospice right now, and they are, she is ready to be with the Lord, and so they're kind of laying low and not being in touch a lot with a lot of people, so just family and people closest to her. Shirley Lane's great-nephew, 7 years old, died in a car accident this past few, it was over the weekend. The grandparents were also injured in the accident. Grandparents were taking the him and his sister, 5-year-old sister, to Missouri, and for the whole plan was they were all going to go to Disneyland, but guess what happened? Yeah. All of this happened. And then so they decided they would do a little trip to Grandma and Grandpa's house. And they, Grandpa was driving and he stopped for a construction zone, stopped for the car that was in front of him, and the guy behind him did not stop at all. They were in a Prius. The 7-year-old, it looks like his neck was broken. So it was kind of immediate, which is a good thing. The 5-year-old is doing okay. Grandparents are both injured, so if you we'll be praying for them. Bree, our precious little Bree, who does all of our child care, Bree Shrimpton, is going to start chemo today. She starts chemo today. So those of you who know her, and if you don't mind praying for her, that would be really great. And so, Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you that we are together this morning. Thank you, Father, that you have met us in this place. Lord, that you have just, we just love you, Lord. And we are thankful, Father, for your presence with us. We are thankful, Lord, that we get to meet here together. We are thankful, Lord, that you have given us all we need to accomplish whatever you've called us to do. Father, we pray for the parents of this little seven-year-old, Lord. We just pray that you would comfort them and strengthen them, Lord, as they care for the five-year-old and the two-year-old that they have at home. Lord, for grandma and grandpa who are recovering, Lord, we pray for your quick recovery there and your comfort for them as well, Lord Jesus. Father, we lift up Bree before you, and we pray that you would strengthen her, Lord, as she goes through this time. And Lord, that her healing would be miraculous. We're asking for miraculous healing, Lord, and that you would do great things in this young woman's life, Lord. And we also lift up before you our precious Maureen. We pray, Father, that you would comfort her, comfort her family, Lord, and just really, we're so thankful for the privilege that we've had in knowing Maureen, Lord, in learning from her, the way that she never gave up. She taught us how to continue on. And so, Father, we thank you for her, and just pray that your presence would be so made manifest there. And we are blessed to be in your presence, Lord. We're thankful that you are doing great things amongst us, and would you do great things right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we're just going to see our quick little video that will just get rid of the tears that we've just been shedding. So we're going to get right into the video now for today's teaching.
Would you say that you're an honest person?
Yes.
Pretty honest.
Yep. Honest.
I don't think everyone's honest 100%.
Most of the time.
Sometimes.
Kind of, yeah.
Actually, no, I do not think I'm an honest person.
Like right now, trust me, I'm being honest.
I hope so. I would hope so.
Whenever I do lie, I come back after literally 3 minutes and say, I'm sorry, I just lied.
Why is it important to tell the truth?
Say you lie to someone. The lie can get bigger and bigger every time you lie.
Are there times when it's okay to lie?
Sometimes.
I'll probably lie about, like, if I have a bad day or not. Like, if I'm not having a good day, I'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm fine, and smile, and then be like, I'm really not.
A lot of people do that.
Like, if some mafia guy has you trained up and says, where's the gold, and you have no gold, you could lie and say it's in Africa.
Have you ever been caught in a lie?
Well, maybe when I drew on the couch.
Oh, my gosh.
But I just blamed it on my brother.
Oh, my gosh.
Caught lying?
Yeah.
Once.
Like, I once stole a cookie, and then I told my mom, Mom, I'll buy you cookies.
Did you buy her cookies?
Yeah. Well, no, she didn't let me.
Then after my mom figured it out, because she measured our hands on the thing.
Are you telling me that your mom measured your hands on the couch to find out who drew on the couch?
Well, first she did Simon's, after she's like, it's too big for Simon's. After she did mine, she's like, so if it's yours.
Your mom's a detective.
I was pretending to do my teeth. My mom caught me.
And you weren't brushing your teeth, but you told your mom you were.
Yes.
I think that almost every child in the history of the universe has been guilty of lying to their parents about brushing their teeth.
So why is it that lying comes so easy to us? Isn't that true, that lying comes so easy to us? Even in the little things, like Bill and I were talking about it this morning, even in those little things like, so how are you doing today? Oh, I'm fine. Well, I'm really not fine. I just don't want to talk about it, you know? But it's an immediate thing. We don't even think about it. We just blurt out something that's really not true. Now, is it wrong to say that you're fine when you're not fine? It's not wrong. It's not the big blatant lie. It's just like, I don't want to talk about it right now. So whenever anybody says to you, oh, I'm fine, you can know that they feel terrible. They just don't want to talk about it right now. So nobody's ever really fine, right? No, that's not true. That's not true. But it is so easy for us to lie. It just comes naturally to us as we just get into this study. I am excited because this morning I woke up with a song. And I love it when I wake up with a song about the Lord because it just sets my day. I don't know about you. And maybe you guys know this song. You are my strength when I am weak. You are my treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Father, we thank you that your name is worthy. Your name is worthy above every other name. Father, that you have filled us, you have blessed us, Lord. You have given us all we need. Lord Jesus, that you have met us in this place. Lord Jesus, that you have filled us. You have just, we're so thankful, Lord, that you, when we're dry, you fill our cup. You are our all in all. You are all we need. You are always, always enough. And we thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So now you know why my kids sing, my husband sings, and I don't. So have you ever heard the phrase of how do you know when a politician is lying? Is he speaking? Are his lips moving? Are his lips moving? So that we are in a time right now where it's difficult to believe anybody or anything that we hear. Is this true or is that true? Is that one? Oh, no, maybe it's that one. Is that person being honest? I don't think that person's being honest. Do you think that person's being honest? I don't know. But here we have this situation, and it's funny, but it's not funny at all, really, when it comes down to it. Many people believe that it's okay to lie as long as you don't get caught. And if you do get caught, you just deny it. Well, that's not what I said. What you heard is not what I said. I'm not wrong in this. You know, we've all, but none of us have been those people, right? None of us have been those people that do that. So God looks at it a lot differently. He wants us to be people of integrity and honesty. Integrity and honesty. Even if no one catches us doing something wrong or being dishonest, God wants us to tell the truth. Remember that God already knows the truth anyway, right? He already knows all about it. What does God's word say? Our verse for today is Proverbs 12:22. And in Proverbs 12:22, it says, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are truthful." He detests lying lips, but he delights in the people who are truthful. Then in 1 Peter, now you've just gotten to Proverbs 12, and 1 Peter 3:10, whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. 1 Peter 3:10. And so if we would love life and we would see good days, we have to keep our tongues from evil and our lips from deceitfulness, our deceitful speech. This is very interesting, speaking with this table. I just got to tell you, being the person that I am, you guys all know, I just, number one, I'm uncomfortable up here on this stage because I'm normally down here talking to you all and I'm just a part of you, but here I'm like, and so my people. So that's what it feels like up here. Sometimes we lie without even thinking about it, don't we? And we already talked about that. Not all of us, of course, not any of us in here, not any of us there listening, are people who they're not honest on their taxes. Or maybe there's the person that embellishes their past. You know how that is? That you get this person that tells this big story, and later on you find out, well, it was true that this happened, but all of this other stuff did not happen, but it was embellished. And then I know that's not true of any of us. When people ask us how we're doing, we say we're fine. So I think I'm doing just right actually works better than fine for me, because no matter what my situation is, I know I'm just right. I know I'm okay. No matter what my situation is. Have you ever been pulled over for speeding and the officer says, do you know how fast you were going? And what is your first response? No. Bill gave me this long thing. Well, there were so many gauges to look at, and so I was paying so much attention to all the gauges that were going on, and so, yeah, I didn't notice that particular one. I don't think the police are going to buy that one at all. But the thing that we say is, no, I don't know how fast I was going. But before Bill and I were married, I used to go out to the desert. I lived in Long Beach, and he lived out in Sky Valley, which is out by Desert Hot Springs, which is by Palm Springs. And so it's in the desert. So I would make the drive every weekend out to the desert to see him. And So I would stay at the pastor's house overnight, and then we would have our days together. And so this one particular time, I got up early on Sunday morning, and I was so tired. I was just so tired. But I had to make it home because I worked at Costa Mesa in the childcare in the nursery back in the tent days. And so I had to be back at work on time. So I'm driving on the 60. Any of you are familiar with the 60? And on the 60, it goes through the mountains, and it's winding, and it's a kind of a treacherous road at any point. It didn't have that middle divider in there that it has now. And I was traveling on the 60 on that particular area, and I got pulled over. And when I got pulled over, and the first question that he asked me was, do you know how fast you were going? And the first time, the first thought that came to my mind was the absolute truth. I said, no, I was sleeping. And I really was sleeping on that road. And God protected me by having that police officer there. So I am thankful for that police officer that pulled me over, and I think I got off with a warning, which was nice too. But God takes care of us. But I was so thankful that I told him the truth, because what else could I say? You know, I just woke up. I'm sorry. I don't think well when I first wake up. So where's the first lie recorded in the Bible? In Genesis 3:1, did God say, Satan himself, the father of all lies, he's the one who says, did God say? So we've got the lie coming from the very beginning. So as we grow closer to the Lord, we become more like him. Telling the truth becomes second nature because His light replaces the darkness in our lives. His light replaces the darkness in our lives. Where all of a sudden we realize, oh, I used to lie about that. I used to tell a little story about that. I used to, but the more we are walking with the Lord, the closer we get to him, the more we find we're not telling those kinds of stories that we didn't even realize that we're doing. Do you realize that? We sometimes lie without even realizing it. And so, honesty is critical to any deep relationship. critical to any deep relationship. Proverbs 15:4, and by the way, we're going to talk about light a little bit later here, but Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. We'll also talk about that tree in a few minutes. And so, Ephesians 4:25 and 26, therefore putting away lying. Ephesians 4:25-26, therefore putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are, why do we do it? Because we are members one of another. Because we are members one of another. So be angry, but do not sin. Colossians 3:9-10, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. Now, I want to stop right there because I keep saying man, and I want everything in me wants to say woman, and everything in me wants to say person. It wants me to change. I want us to all understand when it's talking about, I know you guys already understand this, but there might be somebody that doesn't. When the Bible talks about man, it's talking about mankind. I am a mankind. So we are all mankind. So it's not just singling out the men who... Nope, not going there. Going to make a big joke. Can't make a big joke on this one. No. Do not lie to one another. Colossians 3:9-10. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed, how? In knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So you know God. You know God. And so that changes me when I know God. So do what you say you will do. Follow through. This is a way of not lying. Follow through on what you say you're going to do, even when it hurts. Psalm 15:4. Even when it hurts. And choose honesty instead of telling little lies. It's easy to think that little lies are harmless, but before we know it, we become so accustomed to those little lies that we don't realize we're doing it. And if we would set aside those little things, make ourselves aware of it for 21 days, we can develop a habit of stopping our lying. Only 21 days, that's all it takes. I'm working on my 21 days of not lying to myself about what I'm eating or not eating, but practice telling the truth throughout the day. Practice telling the truth. We practice at something, we get good at it, right? We practice. We practice telling the truth. If people around you are lying, you might feel the need to embellish your story to fit in. You ever, you kind of want to compete with what their story is. Of course, I'm not talking to anybody in here because none of us have ever felt that way. But did you notice how important I am as well, you know, with your big story? And we tell a story, and we might be tempted to tell a lie because of the people that were around. But in Acts 5:1-11, there's a story of some people that told a lie because they wanted to look good, and it cost them their lives. Ananias and Sapphira said they gave all of the money. Here's all the money to the apostles. We're going to give you all the money. When they kept some of it back for themselves. Now, they were okay to keep some back for themselves. They could have done that. No problem. But they lied to who? To the Holy Spirit. They weren't just lying to the person. They weren't just lying to the apostles. And when we lie, when we tell things that are not true, we are lying to the Holy Spirit. And that should, right there, keep us in check. Being completely honest doesn't mean you share everything you know. Being completely honest does not mean that you share everything that you know. There is no need for us to share every single thing that we know, because most people don't care about how much I know. Yeah. So, being completely honest doesn't mean you share everything you think. We don't need to share everything we think. We're not lying if we don't share everything we think. For instance, an example. Your friend comes up and they have on this pair of shoes and you're thinking, man, those are the ugliest pair of shoes I've ever seen in my life. I do not need to tell that person how I feel about their shoes. It's not important. Now, if they ask me, how do you feel about those shoes? Do you like those shoes? Here's my line. Those are very interesting. Very interesting is a good word that we use, huh? So just when I'm asked, though, otherwise I won't volunteer it. Well, what about those in the Bible who did lie and didn't get away with it, but it was the one thing that they needed to do at that time? Particularly Exodus 1, 15 through 17, when the midwives were told that they were to put to death the Hebrew children as they were born, not allow them to live. And what did the Hebrew, the midwives, the Egyptian midwives, told a story that is partially, probably could be made true. The Hebrew women give birth so quickly, we don't have a chance to get there. And perhaps on the way there, they were just kind of took their time to get there. Who knows? The baby came out, they caught it, and that there was nothing else they could do at that time. In Joshua 2, 1 through 6, Rahab lied to the servants of the king and said that the spies had gone out of town. They had left town. They were no longer around here when they were really up on her roof. And in Hebrews 11, 31 and James 2, 25, we see that Rahab was used by God and would be in the lineage of the Messiah. So God used her in that. In 1 Samuel 20, starting with verse 4, Jonathan lied to his father, King Saul, when he said, when he was talking to him, because he wanted to know if his father intended to kill David. And so he had to lie to his father to do that. Does that mean that I can lie? Of course not. Of course not. In all of these cases, the lies kept people from being killed who God had a specific plan for. And so a God-directed thing when it comes to killing, then we have another. We're free. Okay, so Corrie Ten Boom lied about people that were staying in her house when the Jews were hidden in their house. Was she wrong to do that? No, she saved lives of the Jews, of God's chosen people. And so so when we have decided that we have lied, what do we do? What do we do? Confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Does that mean I go ahead and lie and go, well, I can ask for forgiveness later? No. What are we thinking? No. But we tell the truth. We speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Instant confession, instant forgiveness if we find ourselves in that particular place. So Proverbs 15:4, again, we're just going to go back to that particular one. We mentioned it earlier when we spoke of the tree of life. And 15:4, it speaks of the tree of life. And it's been said that to take care of the roots, you take care of the roots to heal the tree. You take care of the roots to heal the tree. In Psalm 119:11, it says, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The root of our problem of lying is a heart issue. The root of the problem of lying is a heart issue. Hide the word of God in our heart. Take care of the roots to heal the tree of life. Take care of the roots. The root matter. In 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 5, for the time will come, and actually I'm going to just turn to that. For 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 through 5. And it says, for the time will come. And we're shifting gears a little bit here. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from what? Truth. Who is Jesus? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So they will turn their ears away from the truth, away from Jesus, and be turned aside to fables. They would rather believe in fables than to believe the truth. But you, verse 5, but you be watchful in all things. You endure afflictions. That's what you've been doing. You've endured afflictions, and you will continue to do so. And you do the work of an evangelist. Tell people about Jesus and fulfill your ministry. We all have a ministry. We all have things that God has called us to do, every one of us. And so, and then in Hosea 10:12, it tells us to break up the fallow ground. Break up the fallow ground. Why? Because for it is time to seek the Lord. This morning, yesterday morning, I was writing the scripture writing, and anybody who's interested in doing the scripture writing, I do have that available if you want it. And also, I just, right here, I need to mention too, if you picked up the sheet that had all of the teachers on it, I left one teacher off. And I just want you guys to know that Lisa Brubaker is one of those teachers as well. So just so I felt so terrible. She's the only one I left off of there. So just so that you know that she's going to be teaching with us as well. So if you want to write the scripture, you can pick up a copy of our scripture writing thing. And our writing is based on, this month, is based on the word light. Based on the word light. And it reminded me of a story from long ago, and I know you've probably heard of this story before, and I don't know if this is the correct explanation of this word. In Rjukan, Norway, a small town that never gets sun, does not get any sun for 6 months out of the year. They are in the valley, and you can look it up. If you just look up Norway and mirrors, you will get the whole story. They live in a valley. And so in the wintertime, the sun comes just to the tops of the mountains, and it never gets down in the valley. So they would have 6 months of darkness. And so in 1913, a guy came up with an idea. Let's put mirrors on the top of the mountain and let them shine down on the town center. And so they didn't have the technology at that particular time to be able to do that. But by 2013, they did have the technology to do that. In 2005, a gentleman started a real work to get this, to make this happen. And 8 years later, it did happen. The mirrors went into action. And so the sun goes up on the mirror, shines into the mirror, and the sun shines, reflects. The sun reflects down into the town center. And down in the town center, the sun is shining in the middle of winter. And what do the people do? They got out their lounge chairs. They got out their little drinks, and they sat, and they talked, and they laughed, and they played games together. For as long as the sun was shining on that portion of town, everybody had to leave their house to come together. It was the light that brought them. It was the light that brought them, and it is the light that brings us to Christ. It is the light that brings other people to Christ because they see us reflecting his light. And so they did all the fellowshipping together. Isaiah 60, 1 through 3. Arise, shine. I'm going to turn to it. I love it when we all turn to it, if we can. If you can, Isaiah 60. Just because we need to know where things are in our Bibles, we need to know. We need to not have it just up on our screens or just up. We need to know where to find it. And so chapter 60 of Isaiah, starting with verse 1, arise, shine, for your light has come. Who is that? Who is our light? Jesus Christ is our light. Your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, verse 2, the darkness shall cover the earth. I want you to pay close attention to this portion of this verse. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. Deep darkness the people. We live in a time where people are in deep darkness. And they're making their choices to remain there. And this darkness is coming over the whole world. What manner of people ought we to be because of this darkness that's coming upon the world? But the Lord will arise over who? Over you. The Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Why? Because your light is shining. His glory is so bright, and you are reflecting his glory and leading other people to Christ because of it. And so Isaiah 60, go down to verse 19. In verse 19 of chapter 60, the sun shall no longer be your light by day. And I want us to read through this carefully and not like I normally read through things. Do you, like me, I read through things and go, okay, yeah, mm-hmm. I want us to read it slowly and pay close attention to what it's saying. The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you. So you're not depending on the brightness of the sun, you're not depending on the brightness of the moon, but the Lord will be to you an everlasting light. The Lord will be to you an everlasting light, and your God, your glory. Verse 20, for the sun shall no longer go down. You will never be without that light. Nor shall your moon withdraw itself. You will always have that light, for the Lord will be your everlasting light. And the days, pay careful attention to this last section. And the days of your mourning shall be ended. The days of your mourning shall be ended. Weeping may endure through the night, but joy comes in the morning. He gives us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for our mourning. Our mourning will come to an end. It will come to an end. And we will see the Lord face to face. James 1. In James 1. Okay, I have James in my Bible too. James chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Don't be deceived in believing that these things are coming from anywhere else. every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creations, of his creatures. God has done a work in us. He has given us his light. He has shown us his light. Right now, there's just no variation. There's no shadow of turning. There's not even a slight bit of turning in him. He knows what he's doing. And right now, there are a lot of things to be afraid of. Does anybody else feel that? Could I see any hands of anybody that you feel like there's a lot of things to be afraid of right now? If we wanted to be afraid. There are people we can't believe right now. We can be afraid of another surge of the virus. We can be afraid of more riots. We're afraid. I'm sometimes afraid of what I hear people say. You know, I hear them say, we're going to do this and we're going to do that and it's going to be this and we're going to blah, 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 blah. And I don't know who I can believe. Who can I believe? Who is speaking the truth? Pontius Pilate said, what is truth? What is truth? Jesus said in John 14:6, we all know this, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. No man comes to the Father but through me, through Jesus Christ. And you know, I don't know what the future holds. Do you? Do you have any idea what the future holds? I have some thoughts, but I don't know what it really holds. But I know, like you do, I know the one who holds my future. I know who holds my future because I've given my life to Jesus Christ and he's got me. And if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, he's got you. And so, and with the Proverbs 31 woman, I finally fit into the Proverbs 31 women, and so do you. I want you to pay close attention here. Did you ever look at Proverbs 31? That woman was weird. There ain't no way in the world, and we've all through the years, we've explained how this is impossible for one woman to ever have been able to do this ever in her whole lifetime. But I am a Proverbs 31 woman because I am clothed with strength, I am clothed with honor, and I shall laugh at the future. I shall laugh. I will laugh at the future. Let's look at Proverbs 31. Let's real quick look at Proverbs 31 and just see what verse that is right there so that we can underline it and we can pay attention to it and we can remember that we can laugh at that. And so I'm not even sure that I can find it right now. 25, that's right. I didn't write it down, but yes, thank you. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice or laugh in the time to come, in the future. We can laugh at the future. I don't have to sit and think, oh my gosh, what if this happens and what if that happens and I don't know how am I going to handle it? I don't know. Well, what if it doesn't happen? What if it goes a really good way? What if all the bad things I'm thinking about, what if they never happen? I've wasted all my time worrying about the possibility that sometime that might happen. And I come to the end of my life and I am able to say, then I come to the end of my life and I say, man, I spent all these years worrying about that thing that never happened. Instead of saying, I can laugh at the future. Why? Because I am clothed in his strength. I am clothed in his honor. God has got this. Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12, 32. So, let's fret not, because God's got this. God's got you. He's got me. And he's got all of these situations, and he's got all these conversations, and he's got all this stuff. And you know what? I just see the Lord right now as I'm doing this. This is the weirdest thing. I just see him standing just like this over the whole earth. And he's got this. He's not stirring things. You know, things are not worse than they are because God is in control. Because God's peace is over it. Things are bad. A lot of things are bad. A lot of things are hard. A lot of things are tough. But imagine what happens that day when God does that. It brings chills to me. Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. Let's pay attention to what he's telling us. Because he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. And he's got this, and he's got you. And he has you right in his hand. And my favorite phrase is, thou shalt not sweat it. Okay? So, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, that you have gone before us, Lord. That you have ministered to each one of us this morning. This day, you have gone before us, Lord. And you have taught us the things that we needed to know from you. By way of your Holy Spirit, you have brought that on us, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you. And Father, may we always stand strong in the things that you direct us in. May we always stand strong in the direction that you've given us to go. May we not back down. And Father, we look to your soon coming. We look for you to be able to say to Jesus, to say the words, come up here. Come on up here. I want you to be with me. Lord Jesus, we pray for those people that we are to talk to about you. We pray for strength and courage, Lord, to say the words that you give us to speak to them. Lord, we pray for those that are sitting on the fence to be aware that Satan owns the fence. Satan owns the fence. Open our eyes, open their eyes, Lord, to see the truth that can truly set us free. We want to honor you today, we want to bless you today, and we want to give you all we've got, Lord. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you guys, and I am excited over what God has for us.
We come bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe. But you said that we could come before you as we are. As we are.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Summer Series episode recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry or call us at 714-891-9495.